Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Cheese State University. Cheese State University was created for dedicated cheese professionals seeking to deepen their knowledge, sharpen their skills, and build connections. Join them in the Ivy League of cheese education at cheesestateuniversity.com.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. I'm the host. It's our 14th year on Heritage Radio Network out of Brooklyn, New York. And I'm here in Boston at the Time Out Market Boston. We're going to talk about beer, which is very cool. Some of you know in New York, the Time Out Market in New York, our friends Ruben at Bark Barbecue has set up a great barbecue stand there. There's really cool things happening here at the Time Out Market in Boston. I walked through, I had Union Square donuts, I had a bacon and maple donut, and I even made up a Manhattan special coffee. The guy didn't know what it was, but we put espresso and soda water together, and that's what a Manhattan special is. Boston's got a lot to learn. But I think in terms of beer, I must say that I've heard about the beer scene here for a long time. Came up a couple weeks ago for NERAX, the Cass Festival. And I will say that beer in Boston is really, it's got its own identity and some really great breweries up here. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's go around the room and the guests will introduce themselves.
Hello, I'm Forrest Pettengill from Aranaut Brewing Company.
I'm Brandon Keating, a.k.a. BK from Trillium.
And this is Matt Harding from Time Out Market Boston.
All right, so this is a special place. I mean, there's over 15 restaurants and food stalls. There's a bar with cocktails and beer and an amazing local beer list. So, Matt, give us a little intro. Tell us about, you know, this place and the beer program, because it's a beer show, and the food program. Sometimes I always wonder, you know, first time I come to a market like this, what am I going to eat and what am I going to drink? So just give me like a virtual walkthrough.
So at Time Out Market Boston, we have 15 unique kitchen concepts, two indoor bars, and we're going to soon be opening one outdoor bar. We feature craft cocktails, a curated wine list, and then Boston's best local brews.
So what are some that are on tap now?
Yeah, right now we have some brews from Vanished Valley out in Ludlow, Mass. More locally, we have Dorchester Brewing Company. We have a rotating selection from Vitamin C Brewing down in Weymouth. And right now we actually have a collaboration beer with Aranaut called Time and a Half.
Well, that's great. And you guys were kind enough to invite some reps of other breweries here. So we've got these two guys, BK from Trillium and Forrest from Aranaut. So let's talk about you guys and give a little background on yourselves.
All right. I've been working at Aranaut now about like 7 years. I kind of walked in the door like when they first opened. I was there like at month two. And I just saw a crazy atmosphere. I just wanted to be a part of it. There was live music, great beer, and a food truck outside. And I said, I got to be a part of this. So I started on, literally my job was distribution manager, was having a really old pickup truck that I would deliver kegs of beer to local restaurants in Somerville and a little bit in Cambridge. And that's where I started. And then quickly we picked up a distributor, started working through distributors and started getting across like Massachusetts. And then my job has evolved in like many, many ways. Like I've done beer fests, I've done tastings, I've been the rep and the delivery guy. But now my job is like mostly just like dealing with distributors, setting up shipments, and just like kind of like being around. I still do beer fests. I still love doing it. And I still love being in public, you know, talking at like restaurants and doing staff trainings and, you know, going to liquor stores and doing like tastings at liquor stores and stuff and just like reaching directly out to people. And most of my job these days is literally just talking to beer about people.
The first time I was in Boston and had beer was about 7 years ago. I was at the original Aeronaut location in Somerville. Yeah. How have you guys evolved since then? Because, I mean, that was such a cool place. It was kind of like a mini food hall. It had like some kind of chocolate and other little food makers.
The chocolate maker there, Somerville Chocolate, shout out to him. He's actually like been, he's an architect and he's done architectural work for us. But he's been there since the beginning. He's still there. He's probably the one that's like still there from the beginning. You know, we used to have a coffee roaster. We used to have like a CSA place that put together like vegetables and stuff. And it's always been like turnover, but it became... You know, like we had no distribution, and then we started distributing and like picking up and canning, and like it just like kind of took off to the point where our Somerville location got like maxed out. And like we were brewing beers based on like a template of like how much time we could fit in. And like, you know, we got maxed out. And then right before COVID, we bought the old down the road space in Everett to be our canning location so that we can go from like an 8-barrel system to a 30-barrel system. Because like basically a week in our old location was like brew 3 batches of Dr. Nandu, brew 3 batches of Hot Pop, 3 batches of a rotator and 1 sour. And that's all we could get. And it just became, we need more. And so like we bought this new place and then COVID happened and we were like, oh, the floor just fell out. What are we going to do now? But then when COVID happened, we found we can't put any money into that. Let's focus back on Somerville. And like, we have a tap room that fits 250 people and it's packed every day. So the tap room's a huge part. I mean, you were there, you saw it, it's magical. And we sell a lot of beer in our tap room. So when COVID hit, it was like, pull back production. Immediately, we saw the numbers from our distributor and people were drinking tons of cans at home. So we had to transfer all our production into cans, make these huge jumps. And then that allowed us to get back into Everett and like put the money in that facility, open that up. And now that facility is making all of our cans, like 8 to 9 brands at a time. And now we're brewing for Rockport Brewing. We have a batch coming up for Tributary coming up. We've done batches for Small Change. And, you know, like we're still growing at that place. So we still use our Somerville location. It's still our number one tap room. That's where you find the most people, a good selection of beer. And that's where all of our new recipes come from. We still like all the stuff that gets canned gets made in Everett. But our Somerville location is like, let's try some new stuff. Let's make the new IPAs. I mean, that's where we made this beer for Time Out. It's in our Somerville location.
Wow, that's pretty cool. We're going to get back to that. Let's BK, tell us about you. You work at Trillium. So it seems like that I'm just learning about Massachusetts craft beer, but Aeronaut, Trillium. I mean, Trillium is so good. So tell us how you started working there.
Yeah, this is BK from Trillium. Did you want
to? I just want to say, like, because you said, like, you don't know the mass beer scene that well.
Yeah.
Like, there is the new thing of the past 10 years that is the New England IPA. And I just will say, like, Trillium is one of the, like, architects of that. If people point to, like, the originals, I think Congress Street is one of those beers that changed the beer game, you know? And it's like, it's worth noting the New England IPA, people will point to like Hill Farmstead and Vermont and Hetty Topper as being some of the original prototypes of that. But what really nailed in the style, I would say, is probably Congress Street from Trillium. It's a huge thing.
Yeah, Matt, I appreciate that. That is accurate. That holds up, and it kind of tells my story of like how I got involved with Trillium. So I come from a background in airline industry and management and flying all over the place and going from state to state, city to city, finding whatever brewer I could when I could get time off from being at the airlines and really kind of getting this diverse profile of what the beer was like across the country. And when I remember coming back home from to Boston, when I moved back home, I'd go to a beer share with my buddies, and I remember the first beer I had from them, I think was, Congress Street or Metal. But I took one sip of that beer, and I was like, where did you get this? What is, tell me about, this is not what I have been drinking across the country. And I ended up, my wife told me, she's like, you know what? You spend all the money in the breweries, why don't you get a job at a brewery? So I looked up Trillium, and they were hiring for their beer, the beer garden on the Greenway. Which is the first of its kind in Boston. We went over there. It's right across from the Boston Harbor Hotel. Got a job, worked for them, opened for that was their second season, and I've been there ever since. Right now, I'm currently the GM of 3 locations now, which would be the Fenway, Greenway, and Boston Common, which we just opened up last week. It's been a whirlwind.
There's a lot going on with this company. There's a lot of cool places to see, and I'm just happy to be here.
And he's wearing a Trillium t-shirt. He knows how to represent. So back to Matt, off the script. So you tell me about you. So you're a pro. You went to a culinary hospitality school. Talk about your background, because I know you know your stuff, because this is quite an operation here with 15 food operation.
Yeah, Matt from The Market. I have a strong restaurant operations background. I've been in the industry for 14 years. I started off in the back of the houses. My family owned a restaurant, so I was washing dishes and making pizzas. And then I started working in the front of the house and found that I loved, curating lists of cocktails and beers and wines. And I decided that I wanted to go to school for that, to learn how to do it in the best way possible. So I went to Johnson & Wales in Providence, Rhode Island. And after that, I moved up to Boston, and I found a home here at Time Out Market. And I started off as the lead bartender for The Market, and throughout the few years, I've worked my way up. I'm currently the assistant general manager, and I do all the curation for our two, soon-to-be-three bars.
Great. So what does someone have to do to sell beer to you?
You have to be able to keep up on the supply. To be honest, we really crank through beer here. I know that from Arenot alone, we're probably going through, in the beginning of the summer now, about nine half barrels a week.
Great. So tell us, I know you have a festival coming up. Talk about that, and then we can talk about the collaboration with Arenot.
Yeah, we have a beer festival coming up on May 20th and 21st. This is going to be our biggest beer festival yet. On Saturday, we have 10 different breweries coming to sample 2 to 3 of their favorite selections. And we'll have everything available at the bar as well. On the 21st, we have 8 different vendors. The weather's nice. We're going to be inside and outside.
So how does it work? Do they go to the bar and get the beers? Do you have samples? Do you have stations? How do you set up a beer festival here in this food hall?
There'll be stations around the market, both inside and outside, where the representatives from the breweries will be present to, pour off the samples and talk to, our guests about their brands. And it's a great opportunity for them to gain feedback from the public on the brews and to, for the guests to expand, what they know.
Yeah, are there a couple of beers that you're looking forward to trying?
Oh yeah. No, we have a great lineup. A few of our guests will be Vanished Valley, Arenot, Kettlehead, River Styx, Oxbow, of course, Arenot, Dorchester Brewing. It's going to be a packed house.
Oh, that's great. This must be a great place to sell to.
I mean, I love coming. I've done like 2 beer fests here with Matt. It's a great place to sell to because, honestly, it's like my favorite stop. If I'm going to go somewhere and expense a meal on Arenot, I'm going to Time Out Market. And that's what ended up here so many times. We used to come down and be like, hey, Matt, I'm coming down for that. And maybe we'll talk about beer. I love the beer fest here because one thing about I like being out, when I do liquor store tastings, you can point people right to it. When I'm here, there's a lot of people that came here to drink beer, but I can also be like, hey, we're right on there. And then they'll go straight to the bar after. And it's nice kind of pointing them in that direction. And obviously you get a lot of feedback in a place like this. There's so many people coming through, like you said, they come and tell you what they like and what they don't like. And it's just a good way to get information out of people and see what's working.
All right. And the collaboration beer.
The collaboration beer, this was really fun because, we got to come down and I brought down a couple of the brewers with me. And it was just hey, Matt, what do you guys want? What sells well? And he came to, his basic idea was, we want that kind of fruity. And he threw out the word kind of tiki vibe. So we kind of went straight for tropical. He wanted that hazy IPA. The malt bill is pretty standard to what that is. It's just two row, a little bit of white wheat and oats, as many IPAs of the style. But really it was the hop choice. Like, we want, if we're going for tiki, we want to go for that tropical. And the first thing we thought was like Galaxy hops. Although I'll say, like, the last couple of years, Galaxy hops have not been as tropical as they used to be. So what we did is we kind of went with these Strata hops, a very small touch of Galaxy, and Mosaic. And so I think, like, what this gives the beer is, like, that Strata hop and that very small touch of Galaxy gives that kind of tropical, pineapple-y vibe that you see in lots of modern IPAs. But then those Mosaic hops kind of give a little balance. And, like, years ago, someone told me, like, Mosaic hops have a tasting note of, like, passion fruit and papaya. I remember not seeing that at first, but, like, the more I drink of it, especially when you get the New England IPA where you take away a lot of the bitterness of the beer and you have this overload of, like, fruity hops, I think it comes through. And, like, you know, we wrote, like, you know, notes on this beer would be, like, pineapple, passion fruit, papaya. But, like, when you kind of mix that together, like, I get, like, a kind of touch of this, like, kind of pink lemonade kind of thing. But it matches that kind of tiki feel that we were, like, going for, that he was going. It's very fruity. It's kind of like a mixed, like, berry pineapple thing going on with, like, a very low bitterness. And a little bit of sweetness. Like, I think our IPAs, we've been going a little bit dry. But Matt, you know, we actually brought Matt to the brewery. We did, like, a one-barrel prototype that we served at our brewery so that, like, Matt could, like, kind of taste it. We brought a couple of people there, and I brought him crawlers here to try. And he said, like, yeah, can we go, like, a touch sweeter? So then we, like, kind of touched up the recipe, added, like, a touch more sweetness in there just to kind of give it that vibe. And the beer came out great. Like, I'm always terrified of things like that because, like, brewing is very, like, like, you can know what you're doing, but, like, you never know what you're going to, like, you know. And so, like, when I got that final product out of the Bright Tank, I just remember being so relieved. Like, oh, thank Christ. It's pineapple. It's fruity. It's everything we said it would be. Like,
so, Matt, tell us about your experience. This is the time out and a half hazy New England IPA. You know, you wanted this style, you know, you, in your words, helping to make this beer.
Yeah, what I really wanted to be able to offer is a beer that's going to complement our summer cocktail list, but staying true to being a beer. You know, we live in New England, and so why not a New England IPA? It's, you know, wildly popular here. It's, you know, our top three selling beers right now are New England IPAs. So what we really wanted to do was try and offer something that is unique to us and is exactly what we wanted. And I think that it really, you know, hit the nail on the head.
That's great. Tell me about your system. So you have two, maybe three bars. How do you run your draft? And how do you also do the service? Like, I was outside, there's bussers. You know, who keeps track of the glassware and everything else?
Yeah, we're a very well-oiled machine. So from the bars, you can order the beer at the bar, and then you help yourself to communal seating, and you leave everything on the table right when you're done. That's glassware, that's plates, napkins, trash, because we do have a busser system where that's where we try and extend our hospitality further than other food halls, because you really you know, just enjoy yourself, and then you can leave on your own time. As for how our draft systems work, our two indoor bars both have 16 lines. It splits off in the middle of the market and, feeds both the bars. So all the beer is coming from one keg. So you're getting the same beer, literally the same beer, on both bars. We also have a massive glycol system to keep everything cold in the floor. Our lines are really long here. So, ordering for beer, at Timeout Market, we have a PAR system where in our giant walk-in cooler, that's where the product gets delivered. And then we have a separate keg room, which has two backups of each beer. So we have a constant rotation and, you know, like I said, being well-oiled, when you're doing the volume that we do is incredibly important, hospitality in the end, because you don't want people waiting.
About how many half barrels do you have in stock at one time? Like, say it's a Thursday, getting ready for the weekend.
Yeah, I'll probably have about 50 half barrels in house between those two rooms.
You like the sound of that, don't you guys? BK, you're sitting there, you're just across. So you're not in Timeout Market Boston, you're Trillium Fenway. Tell us what's different about it, but I'm sure you come here and get your food, don't you?
Of
Of course. So yeah, we're located about 15 feet right across the walkway. We're still in the same footprint as Time Out Market in 401 Park. Please come by. We're a little bit smaller in nature. If you haven't looked outside, you can see it's a much smaller tap room, but it is small but mighty. It's a greenhouse inspired indoor outdoor tap room. So when you come in, you notice it's the fishbowl effect. It's literally glass all the way around and steel beams. It's a beautiful, very easy on the eyes with some nice plants growing. You can be outside on the patio, or you can be inside in the tap room enjoying, but you can still see everything that's going around you, especially in this very busy community, whether it's during a Red Sox game or a concert at Fenway, or just coming in to grab some grub or go ice skating in the winter. Anything you can do inside that tap, you can see what's going on. And it's a little bit different from what they're doing in here, but again, it's kind of a harmony of what's going around in this neighborhood. And our favorite thing is when you can come in, you're sitting down having a delicious beer from Trillium, is people always ask us, so, you know, like, what kind of food do you do here? And we do have some packaged snacks and stuff from local vendors that we take, but we like to say, hey, you know, you scan this code from Time Out Market, it's going to bring up all of their vendors and they can pick their food from there, order from the app, and then it texts them right away saying, hey, your food's ready, come grab it. And it gives you the capability, if you want to have Trillium beer but you want to have Time Out food, to be able to do both. And vice versa, if you're coming down to the Time Out Market and you're like, oh, you know, I really want some Trillium beer. Well, you know, the beer inside Time Out Market, very, very good. But you could do both if you want, you know. Like,
it's great. Let's put your sales hat on. Let's taste some of your beers. And Matt, and we're going to go around virtually go around the market here. So right now I just had your great New England IPA collab. You know, you're hungry because I'm hungry. What should I have with it, Matt? You can name favorites. It's okay.
Yeah. The fried chicken from Bisque is amazing. You know, we have great reviews on that. If you want something more spicy, if you're looking for a spicy fried chicken sandwich, that's available at Mrs. Cluck's Deluxe. We also have an Asian food bowl concept called Inchu. So you can start off with either rice or greens and then add the toppings. You know, they are curated bowls. You know, so if you wanted something a little spicy, I would recommend that. You know, checking out Michael Schlau's Italian Kitchen. If you want pasta, they have a great chicken parm, huge portion, highly recommend that. Yeah, and then on the way home, you can definitely stop at Union Square Donuts and pick up a box for your family.
I did like the bacon and maple donuts at Union Square Donuts. Thank you. Oh, yeah. And then for you, what's your pairing walk around?
I mean, I live by Union Square Donuts, so I used to do that a lot, but I also get it at home. I find myself at Mrs. Cluck's a lot. But I like the beauty of this place, you know, you get to come here and you can, everyone orders something different. You know, when I came down with the brewers, like, we all went to a different stall and, like, got something. When I come down with my partner, Flora, like, we get two different things from two different restaurants and we share, and it's, like, all high-quality food. Oh, cheers, guys.
Wow, this is a cool experience. You guys really have elevated the game because, you know, I remember, I can say, like, 20 years ago, there was I went to Chelsea Market in New York, and there's always been great purveyors there and suppliers, but things didn't always work as a hall, and you guys are really elevated. I've seen a lot of places and developers come and go, especially in New York, trying to do this. And you know, what's the secret of the success here? Because it's not a cafeteria. I think that's what most people don't like about a food hall, and it's not just takeout and sitting at a picnic table.
Our secret to success is the elevated level of hospitality. That combined with just great product, like the food, you know, we use great ingredients at the bars. We use great ingredients. We're built for speed, but we're also built for quality. And, you know, from the hospitality standpoint, you know, we have management on the floor. If you need anything, you know, we're there to help. And in other food halls, in my experience, you don't necessarily get that level of service.
How do you curate the food? One of your crew mentioned that someone had a food truck and got elevated to being one of the stalls here?
We curate the food concepts based on who's best in the city right now. So all of our food concepts are owned and managed by who Time Out Media considers to be the best in the city. And this is really a microcosm of their brick and mortar restaurants that's more accessible to the public. You don't need a reservation to eat here. So you can eat at some of Boston's food from some of Boston's best chefs in a really casual and affordable environment.
So your beer selection, someone said that's hard to get South Shore breweries like Vitamin C in Boston. Why is that so, and how do you get them? You want to say VK?
I agree with you, and they do a terrific job of curating a really robust list here. And as you said, sometimes there's some breweries that, you know, don't really distribute. They have more like strategic or like closer partners that they like to work with that can deliver. And I'm sure Matt can point that out, how they work with Vitamin C.
Yeah, Matt from the market. So creating a great relationship with breweries, you know, you have to be a good buyer. So you have to be able to say, hey, I'm going to need this much. This is when I need it. And, you know, I fully commit to the amount of beer that I, you know, that I promise. So a lot of the smaller breweries in Boston, the holdup is the volume. So everything really needs to be, you know, allocated to us. But it's important that I'm able to tell them, hey, this is how much we need. And so that they're not overproducing.
So how far out do you order your beer and make those plans?
I try to give about 2 months heads up. You know, before I publish a beer list, I tend to have that list curated about 2 months in advance. And I think that another part of, you know, getting some of the smaller producers to work with us is that they know that their product is in good hands and that we're going to represent it in the right way. You know, we have very clean beer lines here. And, you know, we're trying to educate our staff on, you know, how to really talk about the product with integrity.
You know, I'm sure you guys as beer reps go through this, but, you know, as an industry professional, I'm always amazed at places I go when I do find a really good draft and clean lines and I can appreciate the beer, I always go back. But there's a lot of places I just don't get it, whether I'm in New York or Massachusetts. How important are the clean lines? And we'll come back to Matt and he'll give us a few secrets about what they do. For you, how important are clean lines? Because it's like you go out and you see a beer that you know, but the lines aren't cared for. And then I won't even drink anything in that case.
Yeah, I think it's very important. It just reminded me, like, a brewery that's no longer with us from Massachusetts was an early one, Pretty Things. You know, I met those guys when I started, and those guys showed me, like, how crazy you can be in the craft beer. They would go to restaurants and clean their lines for them. Like, that's how so into it where they were. But I think it's very important because I've been to places, you know, without naming names, that, like, I know don't clean their lines. And sometimes you go and taste your beer and you're like, which beer did I sell them? Like, you know, like, because it's a thing, you know, like, and it's important. Like, we get our lines cleaned at the tap room all the time. Like, I can tell you right now, like, this happened, like, a couple weeks ago. We had a fruited sour IPA with, like, pineapple in it. The beer we put on after it was just a regular IPA, and everyone kept telling me they tasted pineapple because it, like, the lines hadn't been cleaned yet. And it's like, when, especially with those big beers, like if you put a big dark pastry stout on your line, you put a barrel aged beer on your line, you put a Brett sour beer on your line, it's going to affect the next beer that comes through for like a bit of time. It really does like build up in there, and you will get flavors from other beers if you don't really do that. And it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Shout out to Modern Draft, who I know, yes. We all know they're best in the industry. Maddie, how you doing, bud? So I know you guys use them here too. So I mean, it's like, if you're not using them, you're not playing the game right. It's either that,
from what I hear, everyone's like, oh, they cost too much money. And I'm like, yeah, well, it seems to be working for all of us here.
They do a great job, and they will replace your lines, and they will replace parts for you. Huge shout out to Modern Draft.
So, man, like if you ran like a jalapeno IPA, you're not going to get that spice out. If you had a Rauch beer, you're not going to get that out, right?
Rauch beer is a bad offender. If you put a smoked beer on, the next beer on is coming out smoky.
Matt, tell us about, you know, cleaning your lines, because it's part of the management, and then I'm going to come back and ask you more about your training, because I got a lot of respect for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's Modern Draft. You know, we use them here too, and they not only clean the lines, but they're cleaning the spouts, they're cleaning the couplers, all those things that are sometimes ignored, you know, especially if you are trying to clean your lines yourself. Chances are you're not hitting those details that, you know, are still in contact with the beer and still have yeast buildup. And if you have yeast buildup, you're just pouring foam and you're wasting money. So,
no, details. And I'll tell you, everyone here that I've met at the Union Square Donuts, the nicest, most knowledgeable person in the world, sold me on the bacon maple donuts. All right. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Cheese State University. Cheese State University was created for dedicated cheese professionals seeking to deepen their knowledge, sharpen their skills, and build connections.
It feels like a gift to be able to give this gift to people, because I know that from my own experiences, I know how valuable, consolidated, incredible training resources are.
They offer an in-depth education on all things cheese, as well as an active network for peer support and career development.
You can pop over to the Quad, which is our social networking and engagement app. And so that's a really fun and dynamic aspect of Cheese State University.
Cheese State's three-part course is designed for seasoned pros and entry-level mongers alike, and covers all the skills one needs to perform on the cheese counter.
The structure of Cheese State University is all based on the Cheese State University Field Guide. And that is a three-volume resource. It's all digital, online.
At the end of the course, students will be ready to ace the field guide assessment and earn their Cheese State Scholar Certificate.
Another resource is a video series where we tackle sort of like these thornier questions that you can get on the cheese counter, like what is rennet and like why is this cheese so expensive and can pregnant people even eat cheese?
At Cheese State, you're among experts, you're among scholars, you're among cheese lovers, and most importantly, you are a monger. Join them in the Ivy League of Cheese Education at cheesestateuniversity.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. This is Jimmy Carboni. It's our 14th year, and thanks for supporting us at heritageradionetwork.org. So I'm at the Time Out Market in Boston. I'm drinking some really good beers with some great beer guys. And Matt, who's the assistant general manager here, gets to buy and manage all the bars. And we're having a really good time drinking. Now we're on to Trillium. So Matt, back to your backstory. You went to Johnson & Wales. I have a lot of respect for hospitality programs. Just tell us about that program and a few things that you learn from that program.
At Johnson & Wales, I learned a lot about, you know, how using good ingredients in your food and your drinks really affects the final product. It was also, a lot of studies in basic operations of cooking. So when I'm curating a drink list, especially cocktails, I try and come from a culinary approach. So knowing what flavors work well together. And I'm sure that's, similar in, being a brewer too. You have to understand the flavor combinations, what works and what doesn't. But at Johnson & Wales, I also learned a lot about the business aspect of, running a restaurant and, what it takes to basically stay open in such a competitive environment. I've worked in restaurants that, weren't ran very well. And my drive to go to school was to learn how to do it the right way and learn how to do it better than the people that I was watching.
What's one of the hardest parts of your job, or that takes the most time? Is it scheduling of staff?
People management's always a tough one. Sometimes people, don't get along with one another, and you know, we have to be the mediator. You know, I put a lot of time and effort into the curation of the menus, you know, and it's menu engineering, and, you know, you can't have, you know, 16 lines of hazy New England IPAs, even though that those are your best seller, because you're going to cannibalize your sales. You also need to offer, you know, something for everybody, but make it operationally feasible too. So our cocktail program, we do have some batching involved because we are next to Fenway Park, and we get hit hard. So we need to be able to provide the service in a very speedy manner.
So I didn't mention that we're near Fenway Park. I didn't even see it. But there's that big, is it Sitco sign? Is that what that is? Came out of the subway and with a T, and I saw the Sitco sign. So obviously there's no baseball game today, is there?
Not today, no.
So otherwise this place would be packed.
Otherwise we would be packed, yeah. You know, an hour and a half before the game, that's it's as busy as we get, you know, especially if they're playing the Yankees.
Oh, watch out. All right, so let's go back to beer. So talk a little bit about Aeronaut. We mentioned some South Shore breweries like Vitamin C. But Trillium, do you guys distribute your beer? I've been to your Four Point location. I've had a couple great lunches there with Chef Damien. I've even had the Pilsner there, which I've never even knew Trillium had a Pilsner. But tell us about your beers and the philosophy. And you have like a special license, don't you? Are you some kind of Massachusetts state farm brewery or something like that? I'm not sure exactly what's going on in Massachusetts, but you guys do a great job.
I'd say like it's a special license, but it's I think what we're trying to get to is it's a New England farmhouse inspired brewery that basically started, you know, in the concrete roots of Fort Point, which is more like an industrial area, but how far that's come from where it is today. Our beers are very iconic to the city of Boston. If you look at our brands, like for what we're drinking right now, which is the Fens, Fens IPA, it's part of our Emerald Necklace series, which is, again, tells the story of Trillium, where most of our beers are rooted in the history of the city of Boston. This beer comes when JC actually had a plot, and the Emerald Necklace is like beautiful gardens that go around this area. And it's actually where he met our other founder, Esther, his wife. So our beers like to tell a story, basically, what I'm getting across. And this one is no different. A delicious Galaxy Mosaic IPA coming in at 7%. You're going to get big notes, tropical, right off the nose. Maybe some mango juice. You smell that. It's nice. But the big thing is, it's just as smooth as it gets with that pineapple finish. And that's really showing off our Galaxy hops that we got in just this year. You were alluding to earlier, Galaxy's had a bit of a negative connotation to it in the last couple of years. And, you know, I'm not sure why, but coming in now this year, we're really pleased with this this hop that we got in today. We're really showcasing it, especially with this beer in this neighborhood with this name. It sells really well, especially during Red Sox game, which unfortunately we don't have today, but they're in Atlanta. I'm sure they'll do well.
No, that's great. Yeah, I'm not as clear about everything, but I was under the impression you guys had some kind of a ag or farmhouse license. That I don't know what it's like. I know in New York there's like the New York State Farm Brewers license that allows a brewery to have multiple locations, and there you have to use a certain amount of, you know, in-state ingredients.
Yeah, so 50% of the raw product grown was used into making that the farm itself, I think, was the original one. But this is, each location has like farm brewery license. Which you have to make X amount of beer, you know, per area that you have. So we do brew here right in Fenway. So you can go in there, you can see the setup is right there in the brew house. We brew sometimes 4, 5, 6 times a year. And that's why it's a little bit special. It's a year-round license that we have. And it definitely works in our favor, for sure.
So it's summertime, you're waiting for baseball. What happens in the winter? There's an ice skating rink, right? What's your most popular winter beer?
So we actually do, in association with 401 Park and the ice skating, we do a rink IPA, which is a Galaxy Sabro. So basically people come in, it's got that delicious kind of like tropical pina colada vibe going on. It's really easy on the mouth. So if you're coming in for ice skating, people come in, we have a glass attributed to it, ice skates on it. It's actually a really cool beer. It's got all the artwork done by Kevin Simo at Fair Folk. Shout out to him. All you can see in like all our beer, it's all handwritten pencil, which is pretty impressive what they do.
And I know you love your job because you love the beer. But tell me where you live. I mean, to me, this is I'm coming into Boston. You guys are locals, but this is a thriving beer and food scene, and I'm just thrilled to be here. And I want to know more about you.
Sure. I actually come from North Shore. I'm actually from Peabody, which is about, 18 miles north of here. I grew up there, born in 1984, in the high school there. Lived there up until I was about 28 years old, until I moved to Texas, which is a little bit different. That stemmed from just my background being in the airlines and moving around. They had me kind of shipping all over the place, but Texas is where I found my new home. And the beer scene down there was definitely growing. What am I trying to think?
You act like you're from Texas.
What's that?
You act like you're from Texas.
I just kid you, is that Southern twang coming back up? I don't know. Sometimes maybe it's the IPA. I don't know. But it's probably me just trying not to, come up with that Boston accent. It comes out sometimes. It's not very pretty.
Now, I really appreciate you came on the show, man, because when we booked the show, we had Matt and we had Time Out Mark in Boston, and we asked for a couple other brewery reps, and I'm thrilled to have Trillium and Aeronaut here. So Forrest, just a little more about this collab, because I really like that, and I want to talk more about let's do this. Is there a Trillium style, and is there an Aeronaut style, since you guys are each representing your brands? Because I haven't had enough of either of your beers to know.
I mean, I think yes. Like, I think IPA has become like this huge catch-all for so many different styles of beer. I mean, like, our main beer that we sell the most of is called A Year with Dr. Nandu, and it's very surprising to me, because in the era of the New England IPA that everyone wants, our biggest selling IPA is a clear, amber, bitter, old school IPA. Like, it has some relations to like a West Coast style, but uses like East Coast hopping. But it's like, it's clear, amber, and bitter, which is like not the things that we've like kind of done. But even within that like New England style, I would say like, yes, there's still a lot of variation. Like, even in the new style, there's so many in the last 10 years, like hop varieties coming from everywhere. And like, even like, this beer we just tasted that has Galaxy hops, and the beer we just tasted at like, the beer we made for Time Out has a little bit of Galaxy hops and Straddle hops, which are very similar. They taste very different to me. I think like Trillium's thing, like one of the things I really like about Trillium is their beer isn't all fruit, because the New England IPA is all about like, you get fruit flavors from dry hopping and not boiling the hops. So you get like late hop additions, get so much fruit flavor out of that, and people want a juicy thing. I think Trillium does a good job of like grounding it with like kind of an earthy balance, like a grassiness, not grassiness, because that sounds like a bad word, but there's like a green, like leafy aspect, but there's also like an earthiness to it, which is like hard to describe to people that don't understand beer notes, but like it's one of those things where it's like, I think this beer we tasted earlier is just like pure fruit, a touch of sweetness, really hits that pineapple thing, where like this beer we just tasted definitely hits that pineapple vibe, but has a little bit more rounded to it. There's a lot of things you can do with hops, and that's been like the modern thing, is like, what can you do with hops? And there's a lot of obvious favorites, Galaxy, Mosaic, that you hear all the time. Citra hops is in every beer. There's a lot of variation in it, and you can get all these different combinations of different fruit flavors, different earthiness, like all sorts of stuff. So like, yeah, like it, even within that New England style, there's still a lot of variation. And I would say, yeah, our beers are very different from Trillium. I think they're both great, but they point out what you can do with beer and like how much fun you can have with it and how much different directions you can go in. So
that's great. You must be thrilled to have this collaboration beer on tap here.
I'm loving it. Like, I don't get that excited about IPAs, to be honest, a lot, but I'm loving it. And like you said, it's like what most people want. And I think one of the cool things right now is we also, like, now it was kind of my trick with Matt. It's like, you know, we made a collaboration beer. Now I have two lines on here for 5 months. And in that, I got to put something that, like, you know, I like to push, which is like a robot crushed Pilsner, which is like an old, like, something we made 6 years ago that won a GABF gold completely on accident. But, you know, like, Pilsners don't sell as much as like a New England IPA. So, like, I got this opportunity, like, we're going to have this New England IPA that's going to sell like 4 kegs a week. And then the Pilsner will sell like 2 or something. And like, it's a beer that I love. And, you know, like, going back to Time Out, like, one of the things I love about this place is, like what he said, he doesn't just put all New England IPAs and just the stuff that sells. Like, he's got a really well-balanced menu from across the state. And that's what I appreciate as a beer lover, is I get to drink a lager, I get to drink an IPA, I get to drink a Saison, and then I can go home and I got variety out of it. And I think Matt does an incredible job of bringing that kind of vibe of, like, getting the full spectrum.
What's another brewery that's on tap here that you, as a Boston beer guy, love to drink?
Love to drink? I would say... I always drink something different when I'm here. Tilted Barn is one that, like, I come here and I know he's got a good Tilted Barn line. And that's like a small company. Like, I don't see it a lot out in the stores. So it's like a good, like, oh, let's get to try this. And the other one is, what did you just say? Oxbow. I love Oxbow out of Maine. Great farmhouse brewery. And when I see that on tap here, I'm like, ah, fuck, I love Oxbow.
And my favorite beer, I love the rotating selection of Vitamin C's beers that we're getting. You know, I don't even tell them what to send. They send me whatever they want, whatever they think's fresh and awesome. So, you know, there's a good chance that you can have a different beer, you know, in the same night.
That's really cool. I think you're curating like it's a little boutique beer bar. You're doing a great job, man. And then, okay, back to beers. I had my New England IPA, my other IPA, but I guess my palate is ready for lagers. So tell us about this one, because you just made me smile. I'm ready for lagers this summer.
Yeah, it's a perfect kind of like segue into, he's talking about pilsners and lagers, and, you know, and don't get anything wrong. New England IPAs are delicious. But I feel like any natural growth from going from hazy boys, you get into the crispy boys, right? So this beer we have for you here is our Helles Lager that it's called Central Artery. Anyone familiar with Boston? It's basically where the Big Dig comes from. Where that is centralized, where our first, what we talked about earlier, the Rose Kennedy Greenway, is where our beer garden, the first of its kind in Boston, came from. And we needed to come up with something that when you're sitting under the sun and, it, you know, it's a little bit hotter out and you need something crisp and refreshing. Here we go. We got you our Helles Lager, bright, refreshing. You get those beautiful, fresh baked bread right on the nose. Yes. But the beautiful finish is in the noble hops that we use in this. Give you that kind of like wildflower kind of finish and essence, but still those toasty notes. It's Chris, refreshing. Cheers, boys.
Cheers. So this is like Yankees versus Red Sox, right? You got New England IPA and you got Helles Lagers. All right, we're going to wrap it up. I really appreciate taking the time with you guys. I know you're all industry pros. We're here on a Tuesday. It was a 3 o'clock recording, so I know that's kind of in between lunch and dinner, Matt. It's always a good time to have a couple of beers. Anything else you want to say about the timeout market in Boston?
Yeah, you know, if you're headed to a Red Sox game, you know, make sure you stop in. You know, we're a very low pressure atmosphere. So even if you just want to, you know, come in, take some pictures of our beautiful architecture, you're welcome to do that. If you want to crush a beer before the game, you can do that. If you want to have a full meal before or after, we're here for you. So.
I don't know Boston that well, but it was pretty easy to get here. I took the Green Line to Fenway, and I got off, and I asked the guy in a worker's outfit. I said, "Where's the Timeout Market, Boston?" And he said, "Go up there, take a left." And it was so close to the subway. I really loved it. Is it called the subway or the T?
It's the T.
Oh, man, I kept calling it the subway. That's why I got lost. All right, your final wrap-up, brother.
Yeah, no, thank you for inviting me today. Trillium, thanks you for that. And I'll say, if you're coming in to the city of Boston, you're looking for, you know, a delicious craft beer made and iconic history Boston, you want to try Trillium, that's for sure. And if you can't find parking or that's not something you like to do, you can always go down to our Canton Brewery, which is located just about 18 miles south of Boston. Feel free to go check it out.
One more time, I'll say it. The Green Line to Fenway, you're not even like 100 feet from the T stop here. I mean, this is the easiest commute I've ever had in my life. You got to come here and drink beer. All right.
As far as Marinot, you know, I just reiterate, I mean, this is like the place to be. Like, I love coming down here and expensing a meal and like having good food. Like, when they say like this guy's curated the menu and these are the best food in Boston, like, that's not an understatement. Like, these literally are the best restaurants in Boston. And if you want to like go and explore other areas, you can look at where these places actually are around town and go out and find it. I think you've done a great job at Time Out of like, hey, this is Boston. This is our food. This is our beer. This is Massachusetts. Here we are. We're right next to Fenway. We're right next to Trillium, which, you know, I'll give it up to Trillium. They're like a huge brewery for Massachusetts. And it's a great place to be. Like, come down here and get some food, get from different places and grab a beer and then go visit Trillium. And if you're ambitious, get on the Green Line that opened up in Somerville and you can get to Somerville, location of Aeronaut. So, you know, everything in Boston is accessible. And we thank you, Matt, for including Massachusetts in your list, because I think you do an incredible job.
Yeah, happy to do it. And, you know, if you're drinking beers at Time Out Market and you want to take something to go, you can stop at Trillium and take a case home for your fridge.
All right. And so we're wrapping up. I had a couple of beers and I'm starving. What should I get now? Because I got to eat some food.
Because you've been drinking fried chicken.
I like Taqueria El Barrio. Good friends of ours. They helped us out in many different ways. But if you want to try some tacos al pastor with their handmade flour tortillas de harinas.
All right. That's the winner. Okay. So, guys, thanks so much for joining me here. Matt.
Brandon, BK.
Forrest Penn.
And I'm Jimmy Carboni. I'm the host on Beer Sessions Radio. Thanks to our engineer, Armin Spengen, who's going to clean this up. And we'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Beer Sessions Radio is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.